From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Backed by NATO airstrikes, rebels in Libya say they've regained control of a strategic city just 100 miles from the rebel capital. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Benghazi that rebels welcome the increased NATO effort.
From a vantage point a few miles east of the embattled city of Ajdabiya, heavy thuds and explosions could be heard and black smoke could be seen rising into the air. NATO released a statement saying that it continues to, quote, dismantle the fighting ability of the Gaddafi regime, with a particular focus on Ajdabiya and the besieged western city of Misrata. The statement quoted NATO Lieutenant General Charles Bouchard as saying NATO strikes destroyed 11 tanks of the pro-government forces as they approached Ajdabiya and 14 more that were involved in shelling Misrata. NATO also said a rebel jet was intercepted and forced to return to Benghazi by NATO jets enforcing the no-fly zone over Libya. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said today he's ordered UN peacekeepers in Ivory Coast to use all necessary means to stop the use of heavy weapons by forces loyal to Laurent Gbagbo. Gbagbo is refusing to step down as president, although the international community determined that he lost an election 4 months ago. Today, UN and French helicopters fired on Gbagbo's residence to retaliate for attacks by Gbagbo's forces against the UN and civilians. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak denies he used his office to become wealthy. In a speech carried by Al Arabiya, Mubarak said he's willing to cooperate in any investigation. Egypt's public prosecutor wants to question him and his sons. In Syria, there are reports that security forces and pro-government gunmen fired on protesters in the port city of Banias today, killing at least three people. Details are sketchy because internet and phone access is limited in the city. Voters in Iceland yesterday rejected a referendum that called for Iceland to repay Britain and the Netherlands billions of dollars lost during the financial crisis. Larry Miller reports from London. Britain is now planning legal action to recover the money.
Treasury Minister Danny Alexander describes the result of the Icelandic referendum as obviously disappointing. He says the British and Dutch tried to reach a negotiated settlement, but since that's failed, the dispute will go to an international court. The UK and Holland reimbursed about 400,000 of their citizens who lost $6 billion of savings when the Icelandic internet bank Icesave collapsed along with the rest of the country's banking system in 2008. Alexander insists Britain has a duty to get the money back and will not let the issue die. Legal action could take years to resolve. The no vote jeopardizes Iceland's hope of joining the EU and may damage its credit rating. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. In Poland, church bells and sirens mark the one-year anniversary of the plane crash in Russia that killed the Polish president, his wife, and 94 other dignitaries. Dave McGuire reports from Warsaw. Thousands gathered outside the presidential palace this morning.
The ceremony was part religious observance and part protest, as mourners with anti-government posters shouted Gestapo against the police and tried to storm the barricades. It's been a year of shock, grief, anger, and weariness in Poland, as the tragedy has become a political issue. Despite the official finding that the crew attempted to land the plane in heavy fog against the advice of air traffic controllers, some Poles believe the plane was sabotaged by Russia, and the current Polish government was complicit. The Catholic Church in Poland says that public mourning for those killed in the crash should now come to an end, but the political debate over what happened a year ago today will continue for some time. For NPR News, I'm Dave McGuire in Warsaw.
Now that Congress and the White House have agreed on a federal budget to cover spending until the end of September, the next major fight over money is likely to be about the debt ceiling. The U.S. will reach the limit of $14.3 trillion in the next few months. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor says the GOP won't allow an increase without more spending cuts.
There is no way that we Republicans are going to support increasing the debt limit without guaranteed steps being put in place to ensure that the spending doesn't get out of control again.
Cantor was a guest on Fox News Sunday. Presidential advisor David Plouffe made the rounds of other talk shows, saying this week the president will outline a long-term plan to address the deficit. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.